97.1 FM Talk Podcast. This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. The Mark Reardon Show.
We call my plan Bidenomics. Guess what?
It's working.
I will say that there have been so many accomplishments under this administration, it can be difficult to list them in a distilled way.
I do not hate anyone. So I say this gently. The Biden administration sucks.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
I got to say that I'm going to miss that soundbite from John Kennedy, because eventually we're not going to have a Biden administration. Hell, that could be next week for all we know. But that is one of my favorites. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Good afternoon, Sue Thomas. How are you?
I am well, thank you.
We got the Hall of Famer standing by as well.
Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Fred. How are you?
Hey, good. Thanks.
It has been, unfortunately, a sad and tragic day down in Georgia. We have to talk about, and this is so often the case with my show, because we come on and these things happen either in the morning or in the middle of the day. This one in particular down in what is an area called Barrow County, Georgia. It's about 50 miles from the center of Atlanta. Winder is the name of the community. The school is a high school, and this happened at 9:30 this morning. Investigators say that a suspect is in custody, so they didn't take this person out. They had a news conference a little earlier, right, Fred? And they're expecting to have one again here, maybe in a matter of minutes, and we're going to bring that to you.
Right.
We don't know. I think you would agree, because you've been following this for several hours. There's still a lot of questions about what happened, about who the victims are, on all these things. We don't have a lot of answers.
We don't have many answers at all. We're starting to get numbers are trickling out. So we're hearing about, you know, 4 dead, 9 injured, up to 30, 9 hospitalized, up to 30 injured.
But, I mean, they haven't even really narrowed down the suspect's age. Have they even said if it was a student or a former student or anything like that?
I think in one of the latest things, I think Steve Harrigan is going to tell us about that. If you want to hear some of Steve Harrigan's cuts from Fox.
Fox's Steve Harrigan.
The numbers, 4 people killed by this shooter, at least 9 wounded, serious enough to be hospitalized, many of them taken away by helicopter, and as many as 30 wounded overall. Some of those apparently wounded trying to run away from the shooting, perhaps injured limbs. The shooter himself in custody and alive. School age. We don't know anything more about him.
You know, what I heard there, one of the difficulties that they seemingly had, I can just kind of extrapolate, is this is a rural area. They don't have hospitals that close, so they had to get them to, you know, the larger metropolitan area.
And just walking up to this scene, it was a really chaotic sense. For about a mile around this school, you could tell that parents simply jumped out of their cars, left doors swinging, left them parked wherever, to try and run here to get their children, not only from this high school, but from a nearby elementary school and a daycare center as well. The stories are what we're going to hear next. Those stories just beginning to come out. A young man who saw his math teacher shot. Another young man in the restroom hearing shots and fleeing out a window. So these stories really of panic, and it's panic you see in many of those parents' faces after being reunited with their fortunate children.
So the streets of this area became quickly congested when the word got out about the shooting. It happened again about 9:30 this morning. And one of the things that happens in an instant like this, we're having a bit of a debate, I think, even nationally right now, about having, you know, kids not being allowed to have phones in school. And parents, some parents throw a red flag on that because of communication. In this particular case, the parents are freaking out. They can't communicate with their kids because many of the kids have their phones in the school. They fled the school, or they were ushered out of the school, so they couldn't communicate with their parents. So that left the parents and the kids in a rather uncomfortable situation. But you can see what happened there. They're just getting out, and they can't go back in. It's a crime scene now, so some of that became very, very confusing. You heard Steve refer to some of the witnesses now.
Mr. Aswan did have a gunshot wound to the bottom of his chest. He was bleeding out. Some other kids got up, and they dragged his body inside and closed the door. After they dragged him in, I started barricading the door with all the things I could find. Well, me and some other kids, we lifted up his shirt, see where the gunshot wound was, maybe try and stop it, put some pressure on it. The bleeding would not stop, so we kind of just stopped until the cops got there.
Oh, man.
Oh,
so, you know, you're in high school. You're a senior in high school, and your math teacher is bleeding out from a school shooting, and you're barricading the door, and you're trying to drag him to safety. That's what these kids had to deal with today in this community in Texas. Now, of course, this is predictable, because whenever something like this happens along these lines, it doesn't matter what the facts are. It doesn't really matter what happened. You're going to call for more gun laws, right, KJP?
We continue to call on Congress to do something. We need universal background checks. We need to ban assault weapons and high-capacity magazines, require safe storage of firearms, invest in violence prevention programs, and pass a national red flag law.
Okay, those are all the things that they want to tick off time and time again. We don't know anything about this. Now, this is a rural area of Texas. The bottom line is, and you know, this is something I
Georgia,
think is lost on a lot of people. Way I said Texas, yeah. Sorry, in Georgia. Thank you, Sue. Mm-hmm. We don't know if it was a long rifle. It likely was, but there's a very small percentage of people, even though we get this coverage for mass shootings, very, very small number of people in this country die from any kind of long rifle or even a shotgun. It's mainly handguns, right? And half of the people that die in this country from gun violence, it's from suicides, unfortunately. So I get the instinct to say we got to do something. KJP wants Congress to do something. What the hell are they going to do to actually fix this? Now, I spent a fair amount of time yesterday. I didn't mention this on the air because it's a little hard to describe. But I spent about 45 minutes yesterday before the show going through the manifesto from Audrey Hale, the shooter down in Nashville. And they just released it in totality this week. And you can download it from the publication is actually called the Tennessee Star. Michael Patrick Leahy is the editor of that particular publication. They just published the manifesto. He's going to join me in the next hour. But one of the reasons I didn't talk about this yesterday is because it's essentially a bunch of screen captures of Audrey Hale's diary. And some of this had been released previously, okay? And she was the trans shooter down right there. And I don't know if what I read yesterday gave me a whole lot more insight into her motivations, but here's what it did do. It told me that this little girl or boy, don't even know him. By the way, the Audrey Hale was 28 years old. So this was not someone who was, you know, 16 or 17 year olds. She or he, I don't even know because it's so confusing, was a deeply troubled individual.
Yeah.
Talked about, you know, dying. Talked about how disconnected they were from the rest of the kids. Talked about, they're in a bunch of it is just, it's not even diary entries as much as a bunch of scribbling and, you know, little pictures, doodles, stuff like that. And then random little statements or comments where at one point she says something along the lines of, well, you know, the boys don't like the fact that, or no, I'm sorry, because I can't remember which transition direction that she went. I think it was Aiden. Aiden was, no, I'm sorry. Audrey was the girl transitioning into Aiden. So Audrey would have been the dead name. Sorry, Sue, this is real hard to keep track. So then when she becomes a boy, the girls, she references this, the girls don't like it when the boy doesn't have a penis. Well, okay, that kind of makes sense, right? Mm. But deeply, deeply troubled. This was someone with severe mental illness.
Right.
And we're not dancing around the edges of someone who might need a little medication or something like that. This is a deeply, deeply troubled individual, Audrey Hale, who planned this for a long, long time. There are so many entrants in this diary where she talks about this day coming and how she wants to kill people and how she thinks that the death toll should be high, how she wishes that, how she knows that she's not going to survive. This is all in great detail, but again, it's not in, you know, lengthy posts. It's a bunch of doodles and pictures and weird stuff.
Right. Like, did she did give any sense of why when you're 28 you go to a school?
You know, it's all over the board in that. And one of the questions I have, I don't think so.
Okay.
But that was, so she had focused on that school for a while. Michael Patrick Leahy will have probably much more to say about this, but that's a good question. I can't remember just from kind of taking a cursory glance at that yesterday. But I don't really understand why, and this is another question for Michael, both sides in Nashville, when I say both sides, policing, the police agencies, and the parents from the school and the school, they didn't want the manifesto out there. I think for different reasons. I'm
why?
Not sure. I don't know why. Because most of what came out previously is, I mean, it makes sense. None of it's really shocking. It's a little shocking just to see it in front of you in 50 pages of a diary. But I don't know why they were trying to fight this. Because then you have the lack of transparency and people wondering, well, are we being taught all this stuff? I don't think there's anything in here that's reflecting poorly on the school. I think everything reflects poorly on Audrey Hale and, you know, the mental condition that,
right,
that he or she had at that particular time. But we'll get into that in the next hour with Michael Patrick Leahy. Our friend Phil Holloway is going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. He's a Fox News legal analyst. We have not had Phil on, but of course, he's down there in the Atlanta area. area. This happened at the Appalachie High School in Winder, Georgia, in Barrow County, about 45 minutes outside of Atlanta. Yesterday in the 5 o'clock hour, Sue, you might remember I talked a little bit about this, this situation in Danville, Illinois, which spreads across the country. There was a guy by the name of Jacob Lane that is a Republican strategist in Danville, which is east of Champaign. Fred, did I get that right? You think?
I
looked
right
at the map yesterday. And he wrote a piece in the Wall Street Journal that talked about how the COVID relief money paid for a water park and luxury hotels. I touched on this in the 5 o'clock hour. We're going to have Jacob explain it a little bit later. We'll have Chief Fitch on this afternoon from the perspective of law enforcement, former St. Louis County Police Chief, former St. Louis County Councilman as well. His thoughts on the school shooting in Georgia. I mentioned Michael Patrick Leahy. He's coming in here for a quick visit. We've got George Rosenthal from ThrottleNet to explain why, you know, Twitter is banned in Brazil, and Jeff Murdoch from the Washington Times, plus an audio cut of the day and more, all coming up. Hang in there. Well, I am aware that much of this, my information that I'm getting from Houston, Texas, is fake news, but my son is at the hospital with his girlfriend. Now, they were there yesterday. They got sent home. She has a bed. They have induced.
Oh, my gosh, Mark Reardon.
Grandchild on the way. Grandchild number
Idris.
One.
Idris. He's coming into the world.
That's very hard for me to say that word with a...
I know, but that's so... Have you figured out what you're going to have him call you? Pawpaw?
No, not yet. We'll work on that.
Oldie McOlderton.
Oldie McOlderton is probably the best. Thank you, Sue, for that. That makes me feel so much better. Phil Holloway is back with us this afternoon. Fox News legal analyst, former district attorney, and he was a police officer as well. And we talked to him a lot during COVID because he was a member of the Rational Ground COVID Policy Think Tank. Phil, I haven't talked to you in a while. Hope all is well. How was your summer?
Oh, we're doing great, brother. How about yours? Hope you had an awesome summer as well.
It's pretty good. It went by very quickly. You know, I got my daughter back in school. My son is about to make me a grandpa, so it's one thing after another. Yeah. And then, of course, we have a stupid school shooting down in your neck of the woods today, which is always very depressing. So where is this from Atlanta, Phil?
Yeah, so it's between Atlanta and Athens, where the University of Georgia is. So I would call that about 70 miles east, give or take, of the Atlanta area, and I started getting text messages from sources in law enforcement. Let's just say before this all broke the news, and I knew it was going to be a crazy day, but I got to tell you, I am pleased with the law enforcement response that I've seen. I've seen lots of different agencies that seem to be coordinating well, working well together. This is not obviously, and fortunately, not a common event in this part of the country or in our state. But the local agencies, combined with some federal partners, all did a terrific job responding to this terrible tragedy.
So what I report on this a little bit during the opening of the show, I don't know if you have any new information, but we think that 4 people have been killed, 9 injured. They have the shooter in custody. Anything else that you know about this at this point? We don't know anything really about the shooter, though, do we?
Yeah, it's been confirmed now. I knew this like several hours ago, but the media is now publicly reporting it as a 14-year-old student at the high school.
14.
I don't have a name that I can give you, but I think that might be released sooner rather than later. I think some of the injuries were from gunshots, but some of them were due to, the experiencing the trauma, things like panic attacks and other things that perhaps less physically serious. And so some of the numbers, I mean, at one time CNN was saying like 30 people injured, which I knew that was really, really egregiously high and probably overstated. But the identity has not been publicly released, but I do think there's more coming on.
Wow. And I had not heard a 14-year-old shooter, because we've had a lot of mass shootings. We've had school shootings. I don't remember one being that young. Do you?
No. And it's not at all. Fortunately, it's another thing that's not very common. There was some indication that there may have been multiple threats to multiple schools that went out, this morning. And so law enforcement obviously can't be everywhere at once. And it looks to me like an effort was made to sort of divide the resources of the responding entities and agencies, because obviously a one shooter can only be in one place at one time. But nevertheless, they did respond to it and did so, I think, very well.
Yeah, especially because, this is being described as a rural area. It just from the overhead shots of this campus, the school, apparently there's an elementary school and maybe a daycare. It's a big campus. This isn't necessarily in the middle of nowhere, though, Phil, is it?
No. It's not in the middle of nowhere. It's not as rural as certain parts of the state of Georgia are, because you might imagine between the very developed and built up areas such as Atlanta, and then of course the suburbs that stretch in all directions, and then out to the east you've got Athens, which is that's where the University of Georgia is, and you've got a lot of the folks that prefer not to live in Athens per se. They might want to build and live out to the west of Athens. And so it's kind of in that middle ground between the metro Atlanta area and then Athens. And so it's not extremely rural, but by comparison to downtown St. Louis, it is.
Well, they're going to have an update here, and we're going to try to take that this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. While I have you on the horn here, Mr. Holloway, your state, Georgia, is being discussed, obviously, in this presidential race quite a bit. What's your gut check? We haven't talked presidential politics in a while. Things are settling down a little bit on the let's hold Kamala up to the highest, regard and just give her a big, wet, sloppy kiss from the legacy media. Maybe some of that momentum is slowing down a little bit post-convention as we're into the month of September. Where do you gauge that race right now, Phil?
Well, if I had to guess right now, and we can talk about this in November to see if I get this right, I think that Donald Trump will take the state of Georgia, but clearly a lot of folks in the Harris camp and in the Democrat Party think that Georgia is, in fact, in play. In fact, she was just through here talking about collard greens or turnip greens or something just a few days ago in a swing through South Georgia and Savannah. So clearly they think that it's worthwhile to at least spend some time and resources here. But in the last few days, and I don't know if this will hold, but I have noticed or haven't noticed as many Kamala TV advertisements that I used to see and radio ads. I am seeing some for President Trump. I don't know what that necessarily means, but since Donald Trump has mended fences, if you will, with our Governor Brian Kemp a little bit, and they have decided to make peace, at least for the time being, the governor has a really strong ground game. He's won statewide election here, obviously twice over the course of 8 years, and so he's looking for additional statewide office, I think, in the future. So he's keeping his political apparatus, and if he can, and I think he will, if he can use that to the benefit of Donald Trump, I think that it can be a great benefit, because the state is close by any way you slice it. It was close last time, so it won't take much to push it clearly in the direction of the former president. I think that's where the momentum seems to be headed right now, and I think that's where it will stay.
What makes Georgia a little bit more of a purple state? You look at the whole South, and we can even start with Missouri. Yeah. We're deep red. We used to be purple. You got Kentucky, Tennessee, Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, South Carolina, North Carolina. You know this. In Trump's mind, he looks at that map and he goes, look, how can I lose Georgia when I win North Carolina and South Carolina and Tennessee? He there's differences between those states, but how would you explain those differences and why Georgia is seemingly kind of the outlier down there in the South?
If you look at the state, the color of the state on the map after the election is almost all red for every county, but you have these large metropolitan city centers, obviously Atlanta, but you've got the Athens area, like we were just talking about, that's very deep blue. You have Columbus, Georgia, which is a very deep blue metropolitan area, Albany, Georgia, Macon, Savannah. So some of the large population centers with that are very dense in terms of voters, densely populated and like 90% Democrat. Within, say, Fulton County, it's overwhelmingly Democrat. It's a very dense area. It doesn't take much of that. One Fulton County that goes for Kamala Harris can...
Yeah, that's going to equal a lot of votes. Yeah, I get that. Hey, listen, Phil, I'm going to let you go because we do have a news conference that is starting right now on the shooting down there, but I appreciate your help this afternoon. Thank you so much.
Anytime, brother. Take care.
All right.
Yeah.
This is in Winder, Georgia, a news conference that just started here. Maybe some more answers on the school shooting.
Concerning the same concern, or having the same concern. Within minutes, law enforcement was on scene. as well as two school resource officers assigned here to the school who immediately encountered the subject within just minutes of this report going out. Once they encountered the subject immediately surrendered to these officers and he was taken into custody. Additionally, what I want you to know as of now, there are four individuals who are deceased from this incident, nine that have been taken to local hospitals with various injuries. Of those that were are deceased, two are students and two are teachers here at the school. The priority right now for us within this investigation is to gather all the facts, to make sure that we're accurate with it, because this is a murder investigation. As the sheriff mentioned earlier this morning, the shooter is in custody. His name is Colt, that's C-O-L-T, Gray. He is a 14-year-old student here at the school, G-R-A-Y. He is a 14-year-old student here at the high school. Again, he has been taken into custody. He will be charged with murder, and he will be tried as an adult and handled as an adult. We are coordinating these charges and obviously this investigation with District Attorney Brad Smith, who is the District Attorney for the Piedmont Judicial Circuit here. Since early this morning, we talked with you, and since the incident occurred, numerous interviews have been taking place through our investigation with students, faculty, as well as any other witnesses that we could identify. Law enforcement had a very, very swift response to this incident once the incident was determined that there was a concern here. Those resources, whether it was in that response or throughout this investigation to assist, came obviously from the sheriff's office here, from other local law enforcement agencies, state law enforcement agencies, and the federal law enforcement agencies as well. To include, not to be left out, multiple EMS personnel, multiple fire personnel and agencies. Those agencies responded here as well today, and I am extremely grateful, as I know the sheriff is, for that quick response and the partnerships of working here together with what all has gone on. Currently, from the investigative perspective, we have crime scene agents and other special agents from the GBI, from close to a dozen of our different work units from across the state that have responded here today to work on this investigation, again, collecting evidence, conducting interviews, and so forth. I do want to pass this along, that if anyone has any information that wants to be passed on concerning this investigation, that they can do that anonymously at our tip line at 1-800-597-TIPS or 1-800-597-8477. They can also report this on by downloading the See Something, Send Something app. That can be done by Android or Apple phones, either one. If they need to report any tips concerning this investigation. Let me close out before I turn this over to the sheriff and let you just remind you that this is still a very active investigation. There is still a lot that is very fluid. There's still a lot of interviews to be conducted that will continue on into the night, as well as crime scene work and collecting and gathering evidence. But what more important for me to mention here to you is my heartfelt sympathy to the parents, the students that were here today. Regardless of where they were in the school, this has got a great impact on them as well as on this community. My thoughts and prayers, along with everybody standing behind me and every law enforcement agency in this state, and many, I will tell you, around this country, they are in our thoughts and prayers. And we will continue with that. We ask for your patience as we continue through this, and we'll continue to try to give you as many updates with information as we can to keep you informed. But thank you for being here. I'm now going to turn it over to Bexar County Sheriff Judge Smith.
So that is Chris Hosey. Chris is the director of the Georgia Department of Investigations, the Bureau of Investigations, GBI. He's turned it over to the sheriff down there in Winder, Georgia.
I never imagined I never imagined imagine that I would be speaking to the media in my career over something that happened today, the pure evil that happened today. I cannot thank the people behind me for the support they give me today, to give this office and give this staff. This hits home for me. I was born and raised here. I went to school in this school system. My kids go to this school system. I'm proud of this school system. My heart hurts for these kids. My heart hurts for our community. But I want to make it very clear that hate will not prevail in this county. I want that to be very clear and known. Love will prevail over what happened today. I assure you of that. It is very early as to what happened. Governor Kemp reached out to me and has provided me every single resource that he has to make sure justice prevails. I don't know why it happened. I may not ever know. We may not ever know. But I ask that you and our community lift up our schools, lift up our public safety, and that, again, we do not let this hateful event prevail as to what happened today.
This is Judge Smith. He is the sheriff of Barrow County, Georgia.
I want to thank the surrounding agencies and counties and cities and state and federal authorities that have come and provided us, because they prevented a lot of more tragic events from happening. Continue to lift up these families. Continue to lift up our students and our kids. And know that love will prevail. At this time, I'm going to ask Dr. LaDuff, our school superintendent, to come and speak on behalf of the school.
Kind of hoping that we would get to some Q&A here with these officials down in Georgia. That has not happened yet. This is the school superintendent.
I'm the superintendent of Barrow County School System. I want to thank the Barrow County Sheriff's Office and all of our law enforcement partners for their swift response today, along with that of our staff. I'd also like to thank our community for their response and patience as we work to reunify the students with their families here today and secure the rest of our school campuses. Our schools will be closed for the remainder of this week as we cooperate fully with law enforcement to get answers to the many questions that we all have about this incident here today. But as we are closed, our central offices will remain open. But we will have grief counseling available for our community every day this week and thereafter as we support each other through this terrible event. In closing, I just want to say to our community, as a school system, we are here for you. We support you. And we are ready to get you any support that you may need as we grieve through this together. Thank you.
Is the school superintendent down there in Winder, Georgia, Barrow County, Georgia. They're holding a news conference in the aftermath of this school shooting. We did find a little bit of information out that we did not know. Two students were killed, two teachers as well, and the shooter just 14 years old.
Where kids are given an education or entitled to an education and want to harm others, to me it's hateful.
Sheriff, can you talk about the initial interaction between whoever was able to stop the shooter? Can you describe that to us? How did it go down? What exactly happened for us?
Obviously, the shooter was armed, and our school resource officer engaged him. And the shooter quickly realized that if he did not give up, that it would end with an OIS, or an officer-involved shooting. He gave up, got on the ground, and the deputy took him into custody.
Sheriff, any idea how the weapon got inside the school? And was there any warning that this was going to happen?
Not that I'm aware of. Again, very early, and we're still looking into that, whether or not or how he obtained it and how he got it into school.
Sheriff, have you been in touch at all with his parents or his family to learn more about what led up to these moments?
We have.
any information you can share?
No.
What kind of weapon was
used? It seems like you have a large Hispanic population. Have you been able to communicate with the people in their language to make sure that everybody knows what's happening?
Yes, sir, I have. The school and our office has people that speak in Spanish, and they have spoke to those folks as well. Yes.
How is video surveillance helping you?
Is the shooter speaking with the law enforcement now?
Sorry.
Is the shooter talking? Is he saying why?
The shooter was interviewed, and he was speaking with our investigators earlier, along with the GBI.
How is that video surveillance? How is that helping you, Sheriff?
It is helping our investigation.
Can you say, Sheriff, is this reports of threatening calls perhaps made to the school prior to the shooting? Is that accurate?
None that I'm aware of.
Were all nine injured victims shot?
In some capacity, yes.
Sheriff, can you tell us about the two individuals deceased, and was one targeted?
We don't know of any targets at this point.
Sheriff, what kind of weapon was used? Have you identified the weapon?
Okay. We have not identified that at this point, no.
Sheriff, is there a connection?
This is the last question I'm going to take.
Is there a connection between the shooter and the victims?
None that I'm aware of.
Was this a student here?
I know that you have a lot of questions about the student and that we mentioned that we identified earlier. Keep in mind that's part of our investigation, that we're looking into every aspect of that individual, his connection here at the school. Obviously, as I mentioned earlier, he was a student here. So as part of our investigation, we're looking into all aspects, current and prior, involving that individual.
Right. Can you tell us how many rounds were fired?
He is a student.
Can you tell us how many rounds were fired?
The shooter is a student, yes.
Yeah, so that was one of the questions they were trying to get there at the end. They're wrapping this up in Winder, Georgia right now. So I think, Sue, what we found out there is that two teachers were among the victims, two students as well. And then the thing that really jumps out is that this shooter was only 14 years old. And you even mentioned this during the news conference. That means that kid was a freshman.
Yeah, he
in all
was
likelihood,
a freshman.
Right?
He just got there.
Unbelievable. All right, we'll have much more. Unfortunately, terrible, terrible situation down in Barrow County, Georgia. 9 victims, 4 dead by this shooter, 14 years old. Colt, I don't like to say their name, so I probably won't say this too much. Colt Gray, 14, in custody.
Multiple shots, rapid fires, and like 2 times, maybe like 2 rounds. Like, it was just constant, and it just didn't stop. At first, we just thought it was like just something falling down, because we always hear that stuff, but it was like rapid. And then we had the little hardware lockdown thing on the little board, and then they closed the doors, and we barricaded the doors and everything.
I mean, you know, even my daughter at the age of 9 and a half now, she has to go through these active shooter drills in class. Sue, you and I never had to do that. We had tornado drills and maybe an earthquake drill. But good God, just thinking about, you know, I can't help but think of not only the parents and the, you know, teachers, family members that are, you know, absorbing all this, but the first responders who have to go in and they have to look at dead children and 2 dead teachers, 4 people dead by this shooter. And the shooter, ladies and gentlemen, 14 years old. 14 years old.
Has been at this school for 5 weeks,
yeah,
you said.
For 5 weeks. Here's a mother of one of the, this is actually a grandmother kind of walking us through some of the things that happened. Gwendolyn Cook is her name.
She texted me and told me that she says, Mom, we on a serious lockdown. And I said, what's going on? She said, we just heard the gunshots right outside of our classroom. So their teacher went and locked the door, and they were screaming and hollering and crying and everything in the classroom. And she told me that she went and hid behind the teacher's desk, but the kids were like all over the place in the classroom. But I do think the teacher were actually locking the door.
She said that she rushed to the scene right away.
Well, when I arrived on the scene, I just seen a lot of parents just really panicking. They was running. They was crying. They was screaming because, you know, stuff like that don't happen in this area. So it was very different for a lot of us.
You know, they made the school officials made it very clear that there's not going to be school the rest of this week, and we'll see where that takes us. But Sue, one of the things I can't help but think about, you know, in Uvalde, they bulldozed that school. It was, I hate to put this into, you know, terms where one school shooting is a larger massacre than the other, but I guess I bring it up from this particular standpoint. I can't imagine wanting to, well, not wanting, because you wouldn't want to. I can't imagine going back to that school as a teacher or as a student. Now, I'm not suggesting that they bulldoze this school, but you understand the mental, you know,
right,
challenges that people are going to have moving, right, forward. And this is going to be something that disrupts the entire school year for these kids down in Texas. And you're already coming off of what happened with the pandemic and learning loss. You got high school kids that were in fifth and sixth grade when the pandemic was kicking in. They may already be challenged in now something like this. So it's just a horrifying thing. They do have the shooter in custody. There's still a lot of questions that have not been answered, and we'll try to get to some of those here as we move through the afternoon. We're going to lighten things up just a little bit, though. Sue's News is coming up after 4 o'clock. We'll have Tim Fitch, former St. Louis County Police Chief. He'll weigh in on some of this as well. And then Audrey Hale, the school shooter down in Nashville at Covenant Catholic, she had her manifesto completely released. Michael Patrick Leahy, who runs a newspaper down there, is going to respond to that. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Multiple shots, rapid fires, and like two times, maybe like two rounds. Like, it was just constant, and it just didn't stop. At first, we just thought it was like just something falling down, because we always hear that stuff, but it was like rapid. And then we had the little hardware lockdown thing on the little board, and then they closed the doors and we barricaded the doors and everything.
I mean, you know, even my daughter at the age of 9 and a half now, she has to go through these active shooter drills in class. Sue, you and I never had to do that. We had tornado drills and maybe an earthquake drill, but good God, just thinking about, you know, I can't help but think of not only the parents and the, you know, teachers, family members that are, you know, absorbing all this, but the first responders who have to go in and they have to look at dead children and two dead teachers, 4 people dead by this shooter. And the shooter, ladies and gentlemen, 14 years old.
Has been at this school for 5 weeks,
yeah,
you said.
Yeah, for 5 weeks. Here's a mother of one of the, well, this is actually a grandmother kind of walking us through some of the things that happened. Gwendolyn Cook is her name.
She texted me and told me that, she says, Mom, we're on a serious lockdown. And I said, what's going on? She said, we just heard gunshots right outside of our classroom. So their teacher went and locked the door, and they were screaming and hollering and crying and everything in the classroom. And she told me that she went and hid behind the teacher's desk, but the kids were, like, all over the place in the classroom. But I do think the teacher for actually locking the door.
She said that she rushed to the scene right away.
Well, when I arrived on the scene, I just seen a lot of parents just really panicking. They was running. They was crying. They were screaming because, you know, stuff like that don't happen in this area. So it was very different for a lot of us.
You know, they made the school officials made it very clear that there's not going to be school the rest of this week, and we'll see where that takes us. But Sue, one of the things I can't help but think about, you know, in Uvalde, they bulldozed that school. It was, I hate to put this into, you know, terms where one school shooting is a larger massacre than the other, but I guess I bring it up from this particular standpoint. I can't imagine wanting to going back to that school as a teacher or as a student. Now, I'm not suggesting that they bulldoze this school, but you understand the mental, you know,
right,
challenges that people are going to have moving, right, forward. And this is going to be something that disrupts the entire school year for these kids down in Texas. And you're already coming off of what happened with the pandemic and learning loss. You got high school kids that were in fifth and sixth grade when the pandemic was kicking in. They may already be challenged in now something like this. So it's just a horrifying thing. They do have the shooter in custody. There's still a lot of questions that have not been answered, and we'll try to get to some of those here as we move through the afternoon. We're going to lighten things up just a little bit, though. Sue's News is coming up after 4 o'clock. We'll have Tim Fitch, former St. Louis County Police Chief. He'll weigh in on some of this as well. And then Audrey Hale, the school shooter down in Nashville at Covenant Catholic, she had her manifesto completely released. Michael Patrick Leahy, who runs a newspaper down there, is going to respond to that. Coming up.
Get more at 971talk.com.